recorded 2nd of April 2004.
About life in the village in the 1930s. Lord Besborough had a mansion in Rose Castle set in many acres of park and woodland, and although it was owned by the Besboroughs, there were many footpaths in public use. He also owned a mansion and large estate in County Kilkenny in Southern Ireland. It was there that my father came into contact with Lord Besborough. He, my father, was a policeman in the Royal Irish Constabulary in the 1920s, when Ireland was under British rule and was stationed for a time in Kilkenny. It was part of the duties of the police at that time of unrest in Ireland to patrol and protect the English landlords. The Royal Irish Constabulary was disbanded when Southern Ireland became a republic and my father was pensioned off. My parents came to Rowlands Castle and my father became a park keeper and a courier for Lord Besborough. His duties included collecting Lord Besborough's mail and newspapers from the village post office and newsagents in the mornings and delivering them personally to Lord Besborough. Likewise, in late afternoon, he would collect Lord Besborough's personal mail and post it at the village post office. We had a very happy childhood at Stansted Lodge, close to the village and about 2 miles from Stansted House, until 1941, when my father died and we moved to Redhill Road, Rowlands Castle, to the house he had bought some years before. No one was allowed to picnic in the park in those days, and my father had to deter would-be people who tried. Looking back, it was an idyllic place to grow up. The village green was the heart of activities, along with the rec, the recreation ground. The motor car was quite a rare sight. We were fortunate to have a railway station on the main Portsmouth to Waterloo line, but the main means of transport was the bicycle. In the summer, there were day outings to the seaside by coach, called charabangs in those days, to Bournemouth, Weymouth, Brighton, etc. There were two working bakehouses making very tasty, crusty bread. George Farr was one baker whose daughter, Daphne Farr, now Mrs. Cross, has been my friend since I was about 5 years old. We used to watch him make delicious doughnuts and fried them in a large iron oval-shaped saucepan. He quite often gave us a doughnut each, which we had watched him cook. And in the winter, we spent many a chilly day in the cozy, warm bakehouse amid the delightful aroma of baking bread. We loved to watch him get the big built-in brick ovens heated up with bunts, which were large bunches of twigs tied together. The other baker in the village who made his own bread, etc., was Charlie Ronald. They don't seem to bake crusty bread like it these days. There were 4 pubs in the village, the Castle Inn, where the British Legion Band used to practice, and we would sit on the wall opposite and listen to them. Fountain Inn and the Railway Hotel, now the Robin Hood, on the green, and the Staunton Arms near the church. At the top of the green stands to this day the chapel, the United Reformed Church, also St. John the Baptist Church of England, opposite the Church of England School, a beautiful solid flint building which all our family attended. From age 5 to 14 years. Opposite the church was the rectory, a large flint house which is now privately owned. On patronal festival day of St. John the Baptist, We, the children of the school, danced country dances on the rectory lawn in front of our parents. The old school building was recently converted into private homes. Miss White ran a children's dancing school in the church hall, which was recently demolished and replaced due to its dilapidated state. All our family attended and really enjoyed it. Miss White put on concerts in the parish hall, which were usually well attended, much to our delight. There was an area near the rec which was allotments. My mother had one of those after my father died and grew all kinds of lovely vegetables. With food shortages during the war, people were encouraged to grow as much as possible. Dig for victory posters were a common sight countrywide. For some years now, rows of houses which became the fairway have stood in the area which had been the allotments. Could I stop, please? The big annual social event of the year for the children was the flower show, which was held up the rec. There was a big marquee, a fair, barrel organ, coconut shies, roll the penny, children's races, all kinds of competitions, etc. Best arrangement of wildflowers, a lovely, also a competition for the best arrangement of wildflowers, etc. A lovely festival atmosphere which seemed to go on all day. A similar country fun day to the village fair held on the green to this day. The village became a very different place when World War II approached. Beautiful Stansted Park became a military area with firstly English troops, then a Canadian battle training school. Battersea Boys' School was evacuated to the village. During the war, and their classrooms were in the available accommodation, all available accommodation, the parish hall, church hall, etc., and the children were housed with families willing to take them on. The parish hall was a hive of activity. Dances were regularly held and well attended. There were many small bands which provided the music, and the dances were great fun. The Forestside Hut, about 2 miles from the village near Stansted House, a wooden hut on the edge of the woods, was also a venue for regular dancers. They too were very good fun. Stop. For weeks before D-Day and the invasion of France, the village green was covered with large boxes of shells and ammunition, and all the roads in the village were lined with trucks, tanks, half-track vehicles, etc., with one or two soldiers in each vehicle, waiting for what we found out later were for the orders to proceed to the ports for embarkation to France. Stop, please. The Besbras had 4 children, Lord Duncannon, Lady Mora, Master Desmond, and Master George. Master George had a French nanny who would take him out in a small, lovely black pony and trap. She would sometimes take Daphne Farr, now Daphne Cross, and I for rides with them if she saw us playing in the park. Master Desmond was tragically killed by the bough of a tree as a young boy as he rode his horse along the avenue in the park. Years later, Master George was killed in a traffic accident when about 19 years old in Germany. While he was doing his 2-year national service, which was compulsory in those days. Stop.
Yep.
While living in Stansted Lodge, we often used to witness dogfights with the Spitfires from Thorny Island and Tangmere, which were RAF bases, when the German bombers would come over after the siren had sounded. This was during the Battle of Britain.
Yep.
When I was about 13 years old, I belonged to a club, village club, called the Youth Squad. And part of the activities included knitting sea boot stockings and balaclava helmets for our sailors. The sea boot stockings were made with thick oiled wool. I still have the youth squad badge to this day.
That's lovely. Dorothy, what did your sisters do after they left the village school? Where did they go?
The four eldest girls went to Manor House School in Havant.
Yes.
And they would go on the train, which was a few minutes walk from our house, Stansted Lodge. And then after that, in those days, to be a GP O'Tolefness was quite a sought after job. My father thought this would be a good idea for them, and the four of them all became GP O'Tolefnesses. The two oldest ones went to work in Emsworth Telephone Exchange, and Margaret, she went to Portsmouth eventually, but I think she started off in Havant. And then Eileen, the next youngest one, she started in Havant and worked there until she married. Then that left the three younger ones. So after my father died, we couldn't afford to go to, be sent to Manor House School. So my mother sent us to Commercial Training College, which was Stallman's in Bedhampton, Waldron House, it was called. So we went there and had our training, and after Connie left, the oldest one, she went to work at Portsmouth Aviation, stayed there for years. Vera went to work for the Admiralty, and I went to work for Belmont's in a small office in a big exclusive gown shop in North End Portsmouth for about a year. After I left Yelf's Typewriters, I got a job in the Admiralty at Lee Park House, which was a big mansion between Rose Castle and Havant, which has since been knocked down and a housing estate built on it. And I was very happy there for about 6 months, and then after that I was made redundant, and so I got a transfer actually to the Admiralty at Haslemere, where my sister worked. We used to travel by train from Rowan's Castle to Haslemere, and then when we arrived there was a coach to take us up to Knivehill House, which was a beautiful big mansion in beautiful gardens, and I worked there for few years, and then I went to America as a nanny.
Dorothy, what organisations and things did your mother belong to in the village?
Oh, quite a few. Women's Fellowship, Mothers Union, British Legion, which included house-to-house collection, she made quite a social event of. The Conservative Association, parish council for a few years.